Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
When they hired Kyle, I was thrilled. I'm optimistic. I think we'll get there.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. We'll talk to Steve about the 49ers 24-13 loss to the Seahawks and Jimmy Garoppolo getting in for three plays at the end of the game in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information.
I mean, Murph made a great catch on it in the end zone. The O-line gave me some time and, you know, had to scramble a little bit, and it was a nice play by everybody.
That's Jimmy Garoppolo, and that's the play that a lot of people are talking about, Steve. That touchdown pass by Jimmy Garoppolo at the end of the game, even though it's in a loss. The 49ers still lost to the Seahawks 24-13. A little bit of optimism after that play, after the three plays that Jimmy Garoppolo had on the field. I mean, unfortunately, it came at the expense of an injury there to C.J. Beathard, and I hope he's okay. We don't know about that, and we don't know who's going to start a quarterback yet until Wednesday in the next game against the Bears. But well, first of all, what did you think of that? Because, you know, you could be falling asleep in that game, and then all of a sudden Garoppolo comes in, and that was pretty interesting.
It was interesting, and unfortunately that unfortunate for one guy, fortunate for the other guy, that that's how it, you know, that's how it happens a lot of times. But it was, yeah, it was nice to see him come in, and I mean, had three plays and made three, you know, positive things happen, two completions and a scramble. But not that TJ played bad. He didn't. I actually, right off the top of my head, I don't know his stats, but I think a lot of people took the, you know, those three plays as light for the future, hope for the future.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just pulled up Beathard's stats. I mean, 22 for 38, nothing really wrong with that. And I did have an interception, but.
Well, that was the one that Bobby Wagner manhandled Trent Williams.
Yeah.
I mean, he just took it right out of his hands.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. Exactly. I mean, it was, I mean, pretty amazing. At first, you're thinking, oh, it's a fumble. And then actually when I saw it live, but then when I saw it on replay at the game, like, oh, wait a minute, that's a fumble because he never touched the ground. His body was on top of the defender's body. And
right.
So, yeah, that's an interception. Yeah.
49ers Extra continues right after this. There's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit tpc.com and click on Special Offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park.
I probably would have pulled C.J. Beathard after the third quarter, only because, I mean, like you said, the numbers weren't bad, but this team didn't score a touchdown. Nothing was really happening.
No.
And, you know, I feel like you have nothing to lose, and why not just start the quarter fresh with Garoppolo there? They didn't do that. So then once you don't do that, it's pretty much going to be C.J. the rest of the game until he gets hurt, and then it becomes sort of that unfortunate situation that you mentioned. But then, you know, we just get teased by these plays because, I mean, I know it's only three plays, but man, I mean, every one of those plays, he did something right. Whereas with Beathard,
yep.
With Beathard, I mean, it seems like he's getting killed, and a lot of it is the offensive line's fault, in my opinion. But he's also really not seeing receivers. He's just kind of, you know, he's standing there and he's not avoiding that pass rush. What do you think of those takes?
I mean, I think they're correct takes. I mean, he's. I think he's done a very admirable job, no doubt. But he's, you know, he's a few years behind Garoppolo in his learning curve, and so yeah, you know, there are things that that he's not going to process yet that Garoppolo will. So that's, you know, that's understandable, and I think your take on, I kind of thought the same thing, that maybe they'll put Garoppolo in for the fourth quarter. They need a little bit of a spark. You know, first half of the game actually was not very good on either team's side offensively. The second half, obviously, Seattle played much better. I think the Niners, statistically, I'm going to guess that they played better because it seemed like they did from first half to second half. But yeah, I was kind of along your thinking that they may make a change at the end of the third.
And don't get me wrong, I really like Kyle Shanahan. I think he's going to have a great future as the 49ers head coach, and I really appreciate his honesty. But I have to play this soundbite from him talking about those last three plays of Jimmy Garoppolo.
No, those plays have nothing to do with anything. That's just running around and made a great play. But those have no bearing on it at all.
He's saying they have no bearing on going forward who the starting quarterback is in Chicago. I was just saying, you got to be kidding me. I mean, those three plays have to have a bearing. Maybe, am I wrong?
Is it? No question. Yeah. No question they have a bearing. No question. I mean, he came in in a not an easy situation for anyone. And they made, you know, three positive plays in a row. One, a very nice throw on a scramble out to his left, you know, reset his feet and throw a missile in there. They definitely mean something. Actually, I think they mean a lot.
Even though it's garbage time, right? I mean, you've played in garbage time, Steve. It's still you're playing, right? I mean,
you're playing. You're again, go back to, you're making the calls in the huddle. You're getting in and out. It was only three plays, but it's three more than what it was before he went in there. So. Yes, they definitely have meaning.
I want to talk about a couple of aspects of that too. I mean, you mentioned the touchdown pass, because I just thought it was beautiful the way he was able to slide to his left, avoid a pass rush that had been coming on strong all game. There's, you know, they were sacking Beathard a lot. They had the three sacks on him. They had 13 hits on him. So, you know, that's coming no matter what. He slides to the left. He made that look so easy. And then he, like you said, he fired a bullet, which again, not easy when you're a right-handed thrower, you're going to your left. To me, that was pretty special. What'd you think of just the overall play there?
It was very good. I mean, he steps up into the pocket. He gets out to his left, which, man, that's what you want to see. If you want to see that movement up in the pocket, you want to see that escape route. And that escape route under the tackle, over the guard, you know what I mean? Let the tackle go by you, step in the pocket, and then your run lanes are either out above the guard most of the time. And, he scrambles out nicely. It looks like he runs well. Nobody was chasing him for the most part, but gets out there, resets his feet, and throws a strike. It means something because he showed what he can do.
Right.
In three plays, scrambled for a first down, throws a completion, and then comes back and throws a touchdown. So, definitely shows what he can do.
And people talk about his quick release, and I know that is important, but also just the quick decision-making, and that's something that I think that CJ had been struggling with. And again, he's a rookie, but he'd get back there in the pocket, and if you don't know where you're going with it in about a second or two, you're dead.
No question, and that's all experience. I mean, look at... Okay, so take the other extreme, and now we're talking about extreme because we're talking about one of the best ever in Brady. But look at you know, oh, why can he get rid of that ball so fast? Well, because like Montana, he knew where he was going with the ball before you ever went there.
Exactly.
Before you ever even took the snap.
Right.
He knew where you were going, so he knew how to beat you. You know, I've always said that obviously there were a lot of things that made Joe great, but to me the biggest thing was he knew where you were going before you went there.
So it's almost like he makes every receiver better. I mean, yeah, you need to have good receivers, but he's making every one of them better.
No question.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, too. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and then I was just going to say, going back to CJ, and then you get a young guy, and again, I'm not knocking him at all because he's playing as a rookie. I couldn't have done that. I promise. He's been very admirable in his play, and yes, he's not processing it as fast, but that's to be expected. So you get a guy who can process it a little bit faster because he has a little more experience, and he has a big arm. So things, you know, ball gets out a little quicker, ball comes out sooner, gives everybody a little bit more chance for a completion. You know, that's a difference maker. I would honestly, going back, I would not be surprised if Garoppolo was the starter this week.
I think there's no doubt he should be.
I don't know how sore CJ is. My guess is he's probably pretty sore, 'cause I'm assuming he hyperextended. I haven't seen any injury report, but just the way the hit was, I'm assuming he hyperextended it, and hopefully there's no damage. Because I think he will be a pretty good quarterback in this league. He seems to get it. He has the right demeanor, I think he may not be here for a long time, but I think he'll be in the league for a while.
I agree. I mean, I think that if you put him under center right now for the Steelers, he'd probably be pretty successful with the receivers they have. The offensive line has been beaten up here in San Francisco, so it's not an easy task. But for me, it's
not for anyone.
Yeah, not for anyone. Yeah. But for me, it's a no-brainer that I would start Garoppolo, even if there was no injury. And, you know, I know it's hard feelings on a guy who played well against the Giants and all that. But, you know, when I get a new car or something new, I use it right away. Some people don't. They want to kind of, you know, it's new, I don't want to really use it right away. I would use it. And that's the key here. I mean, you look at Garoppolo. He's a new, piece of the franchise, could be the franchise quarterback. I want to see what he's all about. You got five more games. I want to see it. I want to see him start that game and see how good he can do.
Right. I agree. I mean, they're still not converting on third down. Not that Seattle did much either. speaking of not so good offensive lines.
No.
I think our offensive line might be better than theirs.
The difference is Russell Wilson, the way he scrambles. They never sacked him.
Guys,
it's just amazing they didn't sack him.
Guys, it's unbelievable. And you know, they were. I think we were home and watching, the highlights and on NBC, and they were talking about, well, you know, shoot, he could, you know, the way Russell Wilson moves around, he could, you know, he could be playing in this league for 15, 20 years. I'm like, well, he keeps taking the beating and doesn't get a better offensive line, he may not be.
Yeah, he's got to be slithery, otherwise he'd be getting killed. I mean, and
yes.
But Eric Reed did say that it was frustrating. You know, it's third down, you have good coverage, and then he scrambles and makes something out of it.
And that was really the difference in the game. I mean, they were a little better statistically, but not that much. But they made a few big plays.
No, and the quarterback
made numerous. Yeah. Russell Wilson made numerous big plays.
To me, this game was all about the quarterback. I mean, it was about Russell Wilson throwing for two touchdowns, running for another, not getting sacked. Yep. I mean, he was the main difference of why the Seahawks won the game, in my opinion.
No question. No doubt. Yep. no doubt.
Yeah, now they've won 9 in a row against San Francisco, which, I mean, you know, we've seen a lot of different things. This time, they didn't have some of their big guns on defense, like Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, and Cliff Averill, but it doesn't matter. They still have so many other pieces. I mean, Bobby Wagner's great at linebacker, and Michael Bennett, the way he rushes, it's difficult.
Yeah. They're still good. They're still good defensively. It's a typical, in my mind, Pete Carroll defense. Been around Pete a long time, and you know, simple. Everybody knows exactly what their role is, and they can be free and play. You know, it's not a complicated defense. It doesn't have to be when you have those kinds of athletes on defense.
Yeah, so we'll see. They might be a playoff team. I mean, even though their offensive line isn't that good, they have all these injuries, they're still battling enough that they might be a playoff team.
Yeah. If you got Russell Wilson, you got a pretty good chance.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's another aspect to the quarterback change late in the game with the injury that I wanted to ask you about, because you were at the game at Levi Stadium. And I'm not sure, because I think you had to be there to sort of know what happened. But Eric Reed and a couple other players were really upset at the fans because they heard cheering when Garoppolo was going to come in and C.J. Beathard was still lying on his back. What was your opinion of that? What was your thought process as you heard the fans, and could you really gauge if there were fans being really mean about that situation? I couldn't tell on television.
It was unfortunate. I didn't pick up on it as much as maybe they did, but I don't think it's so much that of being negative toward CJ. I think it was more people excited to use your analogy to drive the new car. This is really unfortunate, but now we're going to get to see, what our new car can do.
So you think maybe when they saw Garoppolo start to warm up, that's where the cheering came in? That's what I was guessing. I was hoping.
I think so. I hope that it was nothing. I don't believe people are that mean spirited. So
I don't think it was malicious. Joe Staley said that. He said he didn't think it was malicious, but Eric Reed thought it was BS because he was standing there on the field near Beathard, I guess, and he heard some cheering, and maybe that's where the reaction came in. Like, hey, this guy's hurt. He didn't want to hear the cheering. That's what it was.
Right. No, I'm with him on that. I get that. Yeah. No. Nobody wants to have that change be due to a serious injury.
No.
And in hindsight, it doesn't seem to be, which is really good, because first of all, we need both of them.
Right, going forward.
But I can understand where Reed and others are coming from. I get that.
Yeah, me too. By the way, Michael Bennett of the Seahawks said that he was glad they didn't put Garoppolo in earlier. He said, I think they're protecting their investment. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I really care what he thinks about it, but I mean, what is he talking about?
I think he was being honest.
Yeah.
I mean, protecting him, no question, and they should be until they feel he's ready, unless he was pressed into service. You don't want to have to put him in if you feel that he's not ready to be in the situation.
Right.
And that's a good coach's job is to put a player in a position to be successful. Whether he's on the field yet or not, you know what I mean. So part of their job is to make sure that Garoppolo is ready and comprehending the offense and can go in and call the plays and get out of the huddle and get to the right play and then get the ball to the right person or make plays with your feet. So now I think that I'm sure Wagner was is that who you said Wagner?
Oh no, but Michael Bennett. Yeah.
No, Bennett. Yeah, I'm sure he wasn't because he scrambled out of the pocket. Bennett's got to chase after him further.
And also they've had injuries on the offensive line. I mean, they were playing a rookie, yeah. Magnuson. Now he's hurt. They got to go to another like undrafted free agent. I mean, I guess that's part of it too. If you're Coach Shanahan, you're worried about Garoppolo knowing all the plays, the playbook, all that. But you're also worried about him being protected. So, I mean, that's got to be really part of the decision that's difficult to make.
No question. Yep. It's all being talked about, thought about, and put into the equation of when and where and why and how and all of that.
Last thing here, you know, the 49ers are playing in Chicago on Sunday. So if Garoppolo gets a start, that'll be pretty cool because he's from the Chicago area. And, you know, it's like coming home and getting your first NFL start for the 49ers anyway. He's already started for the Patriots. But, you know, going up against a rookie quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky, there's another guy who's had a lot of pressure early on because he's a rookie. They got Glennon because, you know, they wanted to kind of groom Trubisky, but things weren't going well, so they brought him in. And, you know, so they've got a situation over there that has been kind of delicate.
Yeah, that is hard. And, you don't want to throw them to the wolves too early because And let's face it, this learning curve is really steep. You know, going from playing quarterback in college to playing quarterback in the NFL is very steep. And you know, that would be exciting for if it happens. So that would be exciting for Garoppolo. You know, we'll see. I mean, again, that's another figure in the equation of, okay, do we want to put that pressure, that added pressure of him playing in his hometown? Can he handle that? Can he, you know, how will he react to that? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's all part of it.
Well, we talked about this a little bit before, but you've been in this situation where you were a backup to these great quarterbacks, and then all of a sudden you're the starter, and you got to take care of everything. And can you kind of put us in the shoes of Garoppolo a little bit of what he's dealing with if he is going to be the starter here the rest of the way?
Well, I think that if he, you know, if he's named the starter for Sunday, then in his mind, yes, I'm the starter for the rest of the season for sure.
Right.
I need to, if I'm Jimmy Garoppolo, I need to kind of in the next five games establish who I am, you know, kind of how I manage the offense, how I play in the game, you know, just letting my teammates kind of get adjusted to me. Opposite of, you know, playing behind Joe Montana or playing behind Tom Brady as the backup, you want to go in the game and try and be as close to them as possible because they have established a very high bar, and now I've got to try and get as close as I can to that bar because this is what the team is used to.
Right.
You know, my experience, I know we've talked about this, you know, replacing Joe, you know, or Steve in 91, like, okay, my thought is, okay, I have to go in and be as close to Joe Montana as I possibly can. Because he's been the standard on this team for, at that point, probably 12, 13 years.
Right.
So I don't have time, and people don't need to adjust. Yeah, they need to adjust to me, but but I'm going to try and make myself as close to Joe as possible so that they don't have to adjust as much.
That's being a true protege.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it sounds like you're being it's a true protege instead of sort of breaking out on your own, your own personality. I don't know if Garoppolo goes that way or not. Yeah.
Yeah, Garoppolo now he's not trying to emulate Brady anymore.
Right.
Now,
yeah, he's not the same offense.
He may be in his own right because he knows that what Brady has done is winning. So yes, he may in his own mind try and do that here, but the guys here don't necessarily know that. So now they have to adjust to who is Jimmy Garoppolo and how does he call the plays in the huddle? How does he get us out of the huddle? How does he handle the situation at the line of scrimmage, getting us to the right play? Is he spastic about doing it? Is he last second at getting to the right play, or is he calm, cool, and collected? And okay, this play's not going to work. Here's our next play. How does he scramble around? Does he throw on the run? It's just there's a million things. But the point being that the team now needs to adjust to Jimmy Garoppolo, because he doesn't need to be somebody else that's already here.
Right. So it's more about him. It's more about him than it is about the system.
He's going to be the guy.
I think he's going to do really well. I think he's going to do really well in Chicago if he plays, if he starts. So we'll see what happens.
I hope so. Yeah. Yeah. I hope so. I'm pulling for either of them. Obviously they're playing a good team still, even though the Seahawks record is not what probably was expected at this time of the year, but they're still a good team. They've got a lot of good players. We've got a good system. My hope was that the win a couple weeks ago gives this young team of the 49ers the aha moment of like, oh, that's how we need to play. That's what we need to do to win.
That would be amazing if the last three plays did it. Yeah. It'd be great.
I hope so.
Somebody could make a movie about those last three plays. Like three plays that turned around the 49ers franchise.
It was very positive and people latched onto it.
I agree.
And I think it would be hard for, unless Kyle really feels like he's not ready, I think it would be pretty hard for Kyle not to latch onto those.
I think he will. I think he just said what he said at the moment there, but now that he thinks about it, those three plays are sticking in his head.
He's trying to diffuse a little bit. I'm sure he's feeling for CJ, and so is everybody. As I said in the beginning, unfortunately, this is how we got our chance. Somebody had to get hurt.
Yeah.
Right.
So he was being respectful. I can understand that.
No question.
Well, Steve, thanks a lot again. Look forward to talking to you again next week after this game against the Bears.
Sounds good.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Join us again next Tuesday. We'll talk about the 49ers game in Chicago against the Bears. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.